Welcome to the True Falls Film Festival.
Stephanie just typed to me, as the chief scientist said, this was going to turn me into a sailor.
There are all kinds of sounds. At night, I sleep below the waterline, and at night, I can hear the water along the side of the ship. I thought it would be frightening at first, but now I find it comforting somehow.
This is the True False podcast, presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofeld. Sound is a pivotal part of any film. Poor audio can ruin a project. Even so, sometimes sound can become a secondary concern in filmmaking. In this episode, we talk with filmmaker Stephanie Spray. A clear through line in her work is a sustained interest in sound. For the last several years, Stephanie's films have been set in Nepal, including her film Monokamina, co-directed with Pacho Velez, which played a True False in 2014. Monokamina follows strangers on a Nepalese cable car as they ascend a mountain to a Hindu temple. It features no outside music. True False programmer Abby Sun caught up with Stephanie to talk about her most recent project. Stephanie was mid-voyage aboard the Joy Days Resolution, a ship that drills into the ocean floor to collect information about plate tectonics, ocean currents, climate change, and more. Much of her project is still being formed, but we'll hear her discuss intentionality of sound in film and the challenges that come along with recording exceptionally sound-rich material. A quick note. When this interview was recorded, True False's Abby Sun was here in Colombia, but Stephanie was out in the middle of the ocean, off the coast of Australia. Understandably, and perhaps a bit ironically, the connection was a bit spotty. So a few times the sound cut out, and they had to resort to questions via GChat. Which means you'll hear some typing in the background during the interview.
What are some reasons that draw your attention to the sounds in particular? What makes it pleasurable for you to record sound?
Well, I guess I find some of the ways that people talk about sound, it sounds a bit mystical almost. I myself feel a certain kind of freedom working in sound in ways that I don't with image. And some of it has to do simply with, and I'm sure you've encountered this too, that when people hear a sound, they're oftentimes trying to figure out the origin. You know, like with an image, you often think you know pretty quickly what you're looking at, depending on the film. And, you know, but if we're talking about documentary, and the ideas about truth and representation that you typically come with ideas of documentary, I feel like with image, there's often, I know there's a kind of nakedness, but with sound, especially if it's a foreign space, some of that mystery can be preserved somehow. But also for me, you know, what spatializes an image is the sound space that's given with it. And you can play with animating an image or flattening an image with sound. And I think that what excites me about sound in this space is because, you know, I keep thinking about ways to play with that to kind of convey this, what this giant machine is, and also thinking about how it, you know, how it's floating in this, the largest ocean on the planet. And I feel like with sound, I'm still able at this point to explore. I've also noticed that it disarms people for some reason, that people are delighted when they hear I'm recording sound. Again, they look at you like you're a unicorn, some kind of mystical being that you've come to record sounds. But there is one anecdote that is quite interesting. There's a man on the crew who's from South Africa, and he he and a number of his, the people he supervises in the, I think he's an electric technician, but they work on the beacons that they send to the bottom of the ocean that emit a ping, and they have these gigantic hydrophones, right? But these hydrophones, they only pick up a limited frequency, and everything else is filtered out. They're only interested in the ping so that they can use it as a system of redundancy in addition to GPS to get the sense of the location of the ship in the water, and it's for the dynamic positioning. It's a crucial part of the operation. So he knew I had hydrophones, and he was very excited that I had brought hydrophones, but he wanted me to see their hydrophones. And he gets out the beacon, he puts the hydrophone in the water, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, oh, this hydrophone's amazing. It's so big. It must be great. It must pick up all kinds of sound. Well, and he told me that, you know, that it was meant to pick up this frequency. So I hear it, and I just hear this ping. It's like this beep, beep, beep. And I said, oh, that sounds great. And I record, and I said, can we put my hydrophones in the water now? And he said, sure. So we go to the moon pool, which is the hole in the ship where the pipe is put down, and I put the hydrophones in. I'm listening, and I said, oh my God, this is just so beautiful. It's like a symphony, but you know, out of tune symphony, and it's warming up and you can hear the whole ship. And I was very excited. And I said, would you like to hear it? And he puts on the headphones, and he looked just completely horrified. He said, I can't hear the ping. So these aren't hydrophones. And I said, what do you mean they're not hydrophones? Of course they are. And the problem was that the point of a hydrophone was to filter out all the noise and to pick up a very, you know, it's for information. It's for gathering information. And he thought it was kind of just bizarre and wonderful that I liked all the quote noise.
So are there a lot of different types of sounds, or is it dominated by the vibrations on the ship and that's why you're focusing on them?
I guess, yeah, it's overwhelming. I think the reason I'm thinking more about the vibrations is a lot of it, even if you stop up your ears, which is what the crews, the workers do most of the time, you still, it's just constant. There's that, and that produces, especially when they're drilling, there's a lot of vibration from that, but also the engines too. I can't remember how many diesel engines there are, but they're locomotive. I think they're similar, or if not the same, to locomotive engines, and they're extremely loud. And so there's the sound, but there's also just all the power. I brought along other kinds of things to play with, things that can detect electromagnetic fields and translate that into sound. And also, so the contact microphones, the hydrophones, which I thought I would be using more, but I guess I'm more interested in exploring the space of the ship than the ocean itself. Instead, I've been trying to think about less about the sea as some kind of metaphor and more about the ship as a kind of metaphor and vessel for thinking about science and oceanography. And so I guess I'm more focused on the machine, the ways in which humans, in their desire to understand the world, also produce so much noise, pollution, the kinds of tracks leave all over the place. So I've been thinking about sound also as a kind of, I guess, in a kind of anthropogenic kind of, it's kind of noise pollution, and thinking about the industry of science as well.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear Stephanie Spray talk about how she's approaching recording sound on the Joy Days Resolution.
I really find it challenging to think of doing the two, if they are indeed separate. It's hard to, you know, set down the camera and I say, okay, now I record sound.
So you've probably noticed Allison mentions KBIA a few times each episode. We're the NPR member station in Columbia and a partner on the podcast. I'm Ryan Familiner, the news director here. And we're also a really unusual NPR station because we have a close partnership with the Missouri School of Journalism. Each semester, we have between 70 and 100 journalism students working in our newsroom. A lot of them are covering city council meetings or anchoring newscasts, but we also give students the opportunities to work on talk shows, on long-form stories, and on podcasts like this one. Actually, exactly this one. Behind the scenes, this show is fueled by students getting hands-on work they hope to apply to jobs in public media or podcast production. And like I said, this is very unusual. No other school in the country really works with a public radio station at this depth. So if you or someone you know is interested in getting these kind of skills, check out KBIA.org to see the award-winning work we do here. And check out the MU School of Journalism, which has undergraduate, graduate, and online learning programs.
Welcome back to the True False podcast presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofeld. In this episode, we're bringing you a conversation between True False programmer Abby Sun and filmmaker Stephanie Spray. Stephanie talked to us from aboard the Joy Days Resolution, a ship that drills down into the ocean floor and takes samples used to study the Earth's history. On board, Stephanie is working on a sound rich project. She's alongside several dozen scientists and crew and finds herself, with this project, focusing solely on sound. Here's Abby Sun.
Okay, so it sounds like you are using a lot of different types of equipment. There's two things I want to get back to later in the conversation, but the first is that you have a lot of different types of equipment: sound recorders, cameras, GoPros. How do you balance all of these different methods of recording? How do you know what to record with?
So this space has been exploited so many times in so many ways for images, and with sound as a kind of secondary kind of concern. Because of my previous work, in which I did spend so much time with the people before, after, and during filming, I've been trying to think about, I'll never get that same degree of intimacy in this space, also because there's so many issues with liability. I really find it challenging to think of doing the two, if they are indeed separate. It's hard to, set down the camera and I say, okay, now I record sound. And in fact, when I did the sound work in the Everest region in Nepal, I just said, this is devoted solely to sound, to field recording, because I feel like there is this kind of feeling that the two are competing, that, oh, if I spend my time working on the video, that I'm not going to be doing sound. So it has been helpful actually to think of them as one project with, who knows how I'll edit them in the end. But because I'm here for so long, I've been trying to do, I guess I call it pleasure recording. So I tend to get in this mode where I feel like I have to make a film. Then I lose my eye for what just interests me and what's beautiful, because I worry about pretty pictures, making pretty pictures, and what's the point of another pretty picture. After a few weeks, I didn't care what I made anymore. I just thought, I'm here. So I've let myself take these long takes of the sea and of ships. And I don't quite, at this point, I've decided not to worry too much about how they fit together conceptually, because I'm also just trying to enjoy being here. This is my first time at sea, and there's something to be said for that, I guess, beginner's mind again, and trying to bring that back to the filmmaking and recording sound as a kind of exploration.
So an interesting parallel that I can draw here is also another difference between recording on video and recording with sound. I found that in my own work and in looking at the work of others, that sometimes getting access while filming on video camera is very difficult. People are very hesitant to talk because the video camera is such a large object and it takes up space. And it's something that people do pretty much immediately notice in a room. But oftentimes a sound recorder somehow seems less real, whether or not it's because of its size, it's much smaller, maybe it's something to do with the fact that people think that sound records one less facet of the truth because there's no image, there's only sound. Do you think that recording with sound has helped with access somehow? Do you find that to be true in your own work?
Yes, it is definitely true. that sound recording seems less offensive and targeted. The only thing about that is, I guess, because I've been doing sound recordings with contact microphones, and I think that I've realized it probably makes me look a bit freakish because, you know, I tape these microphones on pipes or the floor and I'm listening, and I think sound recording, if you're using what appears to be a standard or recognizable microphone, is seen as less offensive and or targeted, as you said. But on the other hand, because I'm trying to experiment a bit with different kinds of sound recording, I've realized it kind of made me seem more strange than anything. But I think we've gotten to the point, though, in the cruise where people realize I'm not really doing interviews. And but one thing I am interested in, and I'm hoping to record more of, is people discussing their lives off the ship, because it seems like much of the time, obviously, they're focused on their work when they're, especially, you know, if they're working on a crane or if they're welding, or even the scientists when they're looking at the foraminifera or they're looking at a core. But a lot of the space, a lot of time spent thinking about offshore, you know, life, you know, back at home, not offshore, but on land. And so I've been trying to think about how to incorporate that, thinking about the space outside of the ship as it kind of like haunts the space of the ship.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the challenges in particular?
Oh boy, believe it or not, in terms of access, a lot of it has to do with gender. You know, the people who work on the floors, they're called roughnecks, and they're all men, and the drillers are all men, and the electricians are all men. And I, you know, it's people want to know if you're married or not. Do you have kids? I've had a lot of people wonder, you know, why I spend so much time there. They know I'm making a film, but there's, you know, you're at sea. I think in some ways it's helped me, you know, I think I'm friendly, but you know, there's a kind of a strange dynamic there. I'm definitely not one of the guys. So that's been a bit of a interesting challenge. We've had a lot of conversations about filmmaking. So, and one of them said, I think what you want will be very difficult to get here. But I keep showing up, you know, and just trying to, I guess, film people when they're more at ease.
Do the workers on the ships, do they also think about life outside of the ship?
I think that they talk all the time about, the crew members talk all the time about their lives on shore. So there's a lot of discussion about family, looking at pictures of girlfriends, of wives, of children. And that's been a bit of an icebreaker as well. I end up doing it too. And that's an interesting thing where the gender comes to play, though, because, you know, most of them have children. But I remember they said to me, isn't your family angry that you're gone? So, there is definitely a double standard there, you know. But again, we're always thinking about what we'll return to, what we'll be doing back at home. But this is also, I've been told that this is kind of that cruises this long, they tend to reach a point. One of them said the world just gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And, you know, the personalities shift a bit at 4 and 5 weeks out at sea because there's nowhere you can go.
Coming up, Stephanie Spray tells us how she differentiates noise from the sound she wants to use.
So they weren't even interested in the environmental sounds, and I was warned that you wouldn't be able to get good sound on the ship because it was so noisy.
¶¶ This is the True False podcast presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofelt. In this episode, True False programmer Abby Sun is talking with filmmaker Stephanie Spray about a new project. Stephanie, whose film Monocomina played at True False 2014, was aboard the scientific drilling vessel, the Joy Days Resolution, when we caught up with her. Stephanie's work on the Joy Days involves gathering environmental sound that others have simply overheard and seeing what she can make of it.
There's a huge gap between what I'm doing and what the crew is doing and what the scientists are doing, but somehow the novelty of this idea of listening to the sounds that are already around us, which amongst artists and, you know, filmmakers and people who work in sound is not a new idea. But on the ship, it's unusual. So, and this also going back to, you know, what you were saying about sound as a secondary concern amongst the previous documentarians, or actually they call themselves videographers, is that they would often just put in music for the images, right? So they weren't even interested in the environmental sounds, and I was warned that you wouldn't be able to get good sound on the ship because it was so noisy. What they might also consider noise is the less spectacular types of labor and maintenance that occur on the ship, right? So, which is far, I've actually been focusing on that. Not only what they do on the rig floor and on the derrick, and I've been shooting with Paul. He's a driller from Alberta, and he used to work for the oil industry, but now he works for the Joy Days Resolution. And I've been filming not only with him, which still pertains to the scientific mission, but also these electricians maintain, all kinds of things as they work on the coffee machine or whatever they're doing. And the other bits of noise, quote, and I've always liked that, you know, the kinds of conversations that people have around their work or not even related to their work, you know, when they're on taking breaks or, you know, there are two men that I'm very interested in. They're both electricians, and they have these long philosophical conversations in between their conversations about their work. And that's the kind of stuff that I find interesting. That's been part of the problem and the challenge of working here is they've had so many filmmakers who just want to document, the scientists talking about their work or, you know, a few images of the drill, you know, of the derrick or whatever they're shooting. So it's definitely been a challenge working here, I think, because they have had so many people with cameras already.
It really strikes me that you keep using the term pretty pictures when you're talking about something that you're fearful of doing or something that you're trying to avoid. What's so bad about pretty pictures anyway?
It seems like also pretty pictures are the kinds of things that you can take easily when you can't get those other kinds of shots. At least for me, they are. I feel like you can always get a pretty picture, a beautiful picture of a place, even if it's a filthy, you know, wasteland, you can still get a beautiful picture. And I guess I sometimes feel like they're lazy. The kinds of images that I take because a camera can produce them. And in fact, I've shared them with the crew and I'll give them copies as well. And they've said things like, oh, I could look at this all day. And I say, well, so could I, but I don't know if I can make this film. What's the point of these pictures? And I guess it's a question, right? I mean, I guess there are a lot of, quote, experimental filmmakers whose films are made full of beautiful pictures. I guess for me, though, somehow if you're shooting with film, I feel like it's easier to get away with making pretty pictures, but with video, because you can shoot endlessly, it feels like it has a less weight. So I think some of the problem with shooting pretty pictures is that I'm shooting video as well. And I don't know why that is. I haven't thought it out enough, I guess. I don't know if video, it somehow feels cheap for some reason. But then in the end, it's a matter of what do you do with it? And I guess it feels like it would be a different film though. And probably I've talked with the scientists and I've shown them some of these images because they're interested, and they said, oh, that has to go in the film. And I always say, well, I don't know how it can, because I'm not going to just cut to the sunrise for you. So I guess I'm still searching for some kind of structure or something that will hold it together. And maybe the sound will be that bridge too. So at this point, I'm still experimenting.
Stephanie Spray is an assistant professor in critical media practices at the University of Colorado Boulder. Her films and video works from Nepal have been screened internationally, and Manakamana played at TrueFalse 2014. It also won a Golden Leopard Award at the Locarno Film Festival. She spoke with TrueFalse programmer Abby Sun from aboard the Joy Days Resolution, which, at the time, was between the coasts of Australia and Papua New Guinea. This episode was produced by Haley Godburn and edited by Ryan Femuliner and Bram Sablesmith. Our music was created by Tim Pilcher using sounds of the True False Film Fest. If you enjoyed this episode, help us out and leave us a review on iTunes. It'll help others find this podcast. I'm Allison Kofeld. Thanks for listening.